Traveling, either on business or for leisure, has become an increasingly important part of modern life for many people. Although travel may not always go exactly as planned and there may be some unexpected delays, in most cases you still can reach your destination. Now imagine a scenario where you arrive at the airport to check in and then discover that your boarding is denied. Or imagine arriving at your destination only to be arbitrarily detained or immediately deported. These imaginary situations have become the real-life experiences of a number of people. Between June 11th and 13th of 2002, at least 130 people were arbitrarily stopped or delayed in Boston, Minneapolis, Baltimore, Paris, London, Copenhagen, Frankfurt, Stockholm, and other cities around the world.
Our flight was on 11th, and from Boston to Iceland directly. When we were checking in, our names has been carefully examined according to a blacklist, and we were told we can't board.
We were detained at a Reykjavik airport from noon to midnight for 13 hours.
Iceland embassy official was waiting for me. He told I could not travel. Actually, the first question he asked is that whether I'm a Falun Gong practitioner.
The airline has strict instructions from the government of Iceland not to accept you on this flight.
These travelers are ordinary citizens from all walks of life who have one characteristic in common. They are Falun Gong practitioners. They were all on their way to Iceland on that country's sole airline carrier, Iceland Air. Chinese Communist Party Chairman Jiang Zemin was to visit Iceland, and the Falun Gong practitioners intended to make a peaceful appeal to draw attention to the persecution of practitioners in China by Jiang Zemin's regime.
Falun Gong practitioners have been using their own time and money to go and peacefully appeal for the rights of other practitioners who have been brutally persecuted in China.
Why were these citizens of various democratic countries in the free world arbitrarily detained, deported, or otherwise stopped from traveling? The Morgenblad in Iceland reported, quote, "The Morgenblad has reliable sources that Chinese authorities have demanded from the Icelanders that Falun Gong members not be allowed in the country during the visit." The Visitor reported, quote, "The Ministry of Justice got lists from the Chinese embassy on individuals who are possibly linked to the Falun Gong," end quote. The Chinese ambassador to Iceland denied the existence of such a list from China. However, citizens of Iceland were strongly against their government's mistreatment of Falun Gong practitioners.
And Australian citizens are being pulled off flights because of their names are on a blacklist. This list is from a communist regime that has committed some of the worst human rights atrocities in recent history. This situation extends far beyond the borders of Iceland. It has become a question of whether Western democracies will allow a dictator from communist China to twist and manipulate the laws of our nation to suit his will.
Evan Mantic, a 19-year-old student at the University of Michigan, was stopped at the Baltimore airport.
And there, they looked for my name on a list that they had behind the counter, and then I was told that I would not be able to fly to Iceland and that my ticket had been canceled. In fact, I've never done anything that would actually bring attention to myself. The real question, I think, is how did the Chinese communist regime get the name of a normal person like myself? If they're doing this by themselves, I think that's alarming. But if they're doing this with the help of other people inside of the U.S., that's disturbing.
The same blacklist can be used in cities and airports around the world. Where will this stop?
The practice of blacklisting Falun Gong practitioners began with the persecution of Falun Gong in China in 1999. For non-Chinese people, the Chinese government simply blocked their entry into China at customs. For Chinese citizens, the government refused to extend or cancel the passports of Falun Gong practitioners. In January 2001, Hong Kong placed a ban on Falun Gong practitioners for the duration of Jiang's visits. Sophie Chow, a Hong Kong resident and spokesperson for Falun Gong in Hong Kong, says,
"This is how an open society welcomes those who would make a peaceful appeal to save the lives of thousands in China."
A group of people who are recognized as being peaceful want to travel to Iceland to bring awareness to crimes against humanity that only continue to be committed under Jiang's regime in China. But the government of Iceland bows to pressure and puts them on a blacklist and prevents the appeal from taking place. Isn't that adding to the persecution? Isn't that the same as complying with those crimes?
Early signs of China's overseas intelligence operations appeared as early as the first week following Jiang's ban on Falun Gong in late July of 1999. The apparent monitoring of American practitioners within the United States indicates that Beijing's reach has extended well beyond China's borders. Dr. Sin Nie, a professor at Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., has come home to find conversation he had after meeting with a senator's staff to brief them on the persecution of Falun Gong, being played back to him on his answering machine.
"Obviously, they are trying to send a clear message that they are watching us at every moment."
On March 11, 2001, Ms. Jin Yaoming received a phone call. A recording of a conversation she had was played back to her.
"It chilled me to my bones. Not only the caller recorded a private conversation of mine, but he apparently knew what time I got up that morning, and he exactly knew what time to call."
In February 2002, classified documents smuggled out of China revealed China's global intelligence efforts. Quote, "We should focus on building up databanks and further fulfill and complete the intelligence management systems on Falun Gong. We should set up intelligence and data portfolios," end quote.
"This isn't just an issue about the rights of one group being violated. This is an issue of whether people will condone the use of such underhanded, covert intelligence gathering operations here on foreign soil, which are directly used to breed discrimination and attack human rights. This alone goes against the basic and cherished principles of a democratic nation like Iceland."
Why is such a list maintained, and who has the ability to maintain it? What did it take to compile such a list, and how many people are really listed? Who is excluded? Who is safe?
The biggest thing here is that a democracy would enforce a blacklist given to them by one of the world's largest totalitarian regimes.